The question we have to ask is, why is the rapture necessary? Why does God do it in this way? Well, there are a number of reasons, and one of them, I think the main reason is this. He says, "Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Where does Christ come from to collect the bride? Comes from his place in heaven. He comes to the earth. It says, when he comes, he brings those that have died in Christ with him. That sometimes confuses people. If he's come to collect people, how can he bring those that have died in Christ with him? What is he bringing? The souls of them that have died in Christ. They're in paradise with him now. But when he comes at the rapture and those bodies are raised, they go together, just like that. Our soul will be reunited with a new body immediately and in that one little time it takes, we'll explain in a moment. Well, an earthly body can't inherit an eternal home, cannot inherit heaven. Because if we were to go to heaven, despite the fact that our sins have been forgiven, despite the fact that Christ has died on the cross for us, our body is still a sinful body. If you don't believe that, those of you that are over 60, when you get up in the morning, you still know your body's ravaged by the effects of sin. Because all of our health and our bones creak and groan because our body is decaying. Cannot be fit for heaven. He has to give us a new mystery. And then Paul says this to the Corinthian church. He says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery," and this is what we've been talking about, "previously unrevealed truth that is now being revealed to the initiated, those that are in Christ." He says, "We shall not all sleep." Oh, that's a lovely term, isn't it? You know what the term cemetery means in English? It comes from the root word, which means a resting place for strangers. All right. For the believer, it's just a resting place. You know, he equates death to just laying down and going to sleep. And in a sense, that's what it is. And that body will remain in that position until the rapture of the church takes place. But he says, not all will sleep. There will be some that will not go into death. There are two aspects to this new revelation of truth. One, that not every believer, of course, will die. And the second is that both will receive a new body. He says this, "For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Do you realize that at the rapture of the church, when you're taken to be with him, you will receive an immortal body, one that can never die? Just think of that and absorb it. What a wonderful truth that is. Now, if I were to receive an immortal body like I've got now, I'm not sure I'd be quite as pleased as that, because it's got the ravages of sin in it. I'm sure if it went round this room, everybody's got something wrong with them here today that they'd sooner not have. But that new body will be a body that is incorruptible and will no longer be a mortal body. You know, at conversion we get a new heart, but at the rapture, praise God, we get a new body. And that's one of the great blessings of that great mystery. He says this concerning our new body in 1 John 3. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be" what? "Like him. For we shall see him as he is." We will have, in a sense, the same resurrection body that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he spoke to his disciples. That's an amazing thought when you think about it. It was a body that could still eat. You know, he sat by the Lake of Galilee. He ate with them. But it was a body that went through the walls into that room where the disciples were meeting in fear after his resurrection. We do not know, and I think struggle to understand, the capabilities that the rapture of the church will deliver to us as believers in Christ. These are, as we've said for our subject, amazing truths if we think them through clearly. He says this, Paul said it in Philippians, he said, "For our conversation is in heaven." You know, Paul seizes on the fact that Romans, no matter where they were in the world, were proud that they were citizens of Rome. It was something of pride. It gave them great authority. In any country they were, they could appeal to the Roman consul who was there for justice. That's what Paul did when he was at Caesarea, and it led him to Rome to defend his case, because he had that right, because he was proud and had the rights of a Roman citizen. But here he reminds the believer that our citizenship is where? In heaven. We have all the rights of heaven. We have the wonder of what heaven will deliver one day and the glory that will be there. Our bodies will be changed, our outward body being changed to an immortal one. No longer will our bodies control a sin nature, for it says, he said, "For whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." You know, it doesn't, vile does not mean a repulsive body, but one of humble origins. We are created in the image of God. We're only in the image of God, we aren't gods. And praise God, those words are in the Scriptures. It is a humble beginning that we had. And it's been further humiliated by the fall of Adam. But it will be changed and free of the effects of sin that have accumulated over 6,000 years of history. Do you know what a blessing to wake up after the rapture of the church and no longer have the temptations that we have to sin? You know, there's not one of us here as a Christian that's been along the road a long time who have not faced temptations in our lives. You know, I think of the hymn that Robin Robinson wrote, and in it he wrote these words. He was converted as a young man, became a great theologian and hymn writer, and he wrote these words: "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." You know, Robert Robinson didn't keep his own words. Oh, he did keep his own words, because he wandered from the faith into Unitarianism. And one day he was travelling in a stagecoach, and a young girl opposite him was singing and reciting words from a hymn book. And she recited those words, and she said, "Do you know it?" And he said, "Young lady, I wrote those words." He'd wandered from the Lord. It broke his heart in a sense, but he never, to my knowledge, abandoned his Unitarianism. You see, even the best fall. Even we, day by day, are tempted into sin by what the devil throws across our path. Do you realize that at the rapture of the church, you will have a body that no longer has those trends to it or those features? What an amazing thing will happen. That change was certainly a mystery before the revelation of Paul. Well, how will the rapture take place? How much is bound up in these few words? It says it will be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Greek word that they use is the word atmos, which means time indivisible. Many of you may know that our English word atom comes from the same word, because when it was coined, the English language, nobody thought you could divide an atom into a smaller particle. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, it depends what view you take, Einstein proved with a simple mathematical formula that you could split the atom. But when the language was coined, so it will happen in time indivisible. The twinkling of an eye is an interesting thought because many people have tried to measure the twinkling of an eye. I've read many different definitions on about. One said it was 1/340,000th of a second, which is pretty quick. Another I read gives me the most accurate one. It's the time it takes for light travelling, and we know what the speed of light is, to hit the eye and reflect. Now you imagine how quick that is. Thousands of kilometres a second. That's why it will be unseen by the world. Here, gone. Sitting at the table with somebody having a nice cup of coffee, and suddenly the coffee cup's there, and you're gone. A pile of clothes left behind. That'll send the mystery bit. I don't think you're going to take that into heaven, because not only will we get a new body, I think we'll get new clothes as well. Just in case anything in that pocket is taken into heaven that is unworthy. As my brother-in-law says, St. Vinny's will have a heyday. All those clothes available. But that's the picture of it, isn't it? All these mysterious piles and the believer's gone. And the amazing thing is that it will take place in that instantaneous, unmeasurable period of time.